Karen, County Fairgrounds USA, countyfairgrounds.net. We're here today with John Shaw, magician extraordinaire, and the name of his company is Underworld Entertainment. John Shaw is out of New York, I believe. You bill yourself as a magician. I guess you bill yourself as a standard magician, from what I can see. And also, you do sideshows. Now, that's a little unusual line these days.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a standard magician. There's no birds or rabbits in my show. I produce snakes and ferrets and other weird things like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my magic act is not like a lot of other magic acts.
No, and how did you get into this?
Well, I started performing magic when I was 8 years old. When I was in elementary school, they had an assembly program. There was a gentleman on stage who was using magic to teach science, and he combined the two because magic basically has a lot to do with science. And at the time, of course, I didn't really realize that or care. I was just really enthralled with the whole magic aspect. I went out to the local Toys R Us and picked myself up a Blackstone magic kit and just started performing for my parents mostly, obviously. And anybody who would come to the house to visit, I would make them watch my really bad magic show and just perform for them. And then it just kind of took off. And then I met a magician at I was involved in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and everything when I was a child. Met a magician at a blue and gold dinner that they had, and he gave me the phone number of a gentleman who sold magic out of his house, and I have not stopped since.
What would you consider your first really good on-stage magic show? Do you remember?
I remember my very first live performance in front of strangers that weren't all friends of the family. I remember that vividly because I was shaking with crazy nerves, and I had horrible cotton mouth, and I just, you know, the show was just probably just god-awful. I'm sure it was terrible. But, you know, they were all very nice to me, and you know, I made a whole, like, $20. That was my first paid magic show. It's gone on since then. You know, I was able to beat the fear of being on stage, and now I take it, and I love it.
So I see you've been at this for how many years?
Well, I started when I was 8. I did my first paid magic show when I was probably about 12, 13, and I'm 35 now, so I've been at it for a little while.
Do you want to tell us about some of the unusual things that you do?
Well, some of the unusual stunts, one of the stunts that I'm most famous for that I've been on Ripley's, Believe It or Not, and Howard Stern and all those guys, all those television shows for is I'm the only person in the world who can suck a raw kernel of popcorn up their nose. And then using air pressure and muscle control, I can shoot it out from actually underneath my eye through the tear duct. Mm. That's probably the one that most people remember.
Yeah, I think they would. It sounds kind of gruesome and painful.
Yeah. There's a lot of discomfort to it. There's a lot of discomfort to it because you're shoving a foreign object through a passage that it's not meant for. I spent 5 years developing that effect, and, I mean, it's like every day. You know, for 5 years, I kept doing it, you know, trying to stretch that cavity out so I could fit something larger through it.
Okay, so I guess it would be something you would advise children not to attempt.
Well, the reality is that nobody else could do it. But, yes, they definitely, nobody should attempt any of the stunts. The stunts that I perform, I mean, I've spent years and years and years of my life learning how to do these properly, and they are all dangerous in individual ways. Some of them might not be life-threatening, but they will cause you possibly to have to go to the hospital. There's a lot of pain involved in some of the stunts that I do, and they're just not something that people should be trying. You know, there are places where people can go and learn sideshow stunts, but, you know, just trying it on your own is really, really, really a bad idea.
Right. That was the next question I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if you had a teacher.
Unfortunately, I did not have a teacher. And I had to learn the hard way, which was through experimentation and a lot of reading. I read a lot of anatomy books when I was a child, and the first stunt I taught myself was how to eat fire. And I'd gotten some pointers from, like, some older guys, older magicians who had done it in the past, and they were like, oh, well, you should try this or you should try that, and I would try it. And then through a process of elimination, I finally figured it out. But I mean, that process of elimination, unfortunately, caused me to be burned badly multiple times. I mean, more than 2 or 3 dozen times I've been burnt very, very badly.
Did it put you in the hospital?
No, the burns didn't. I mean, they were just, you know, they were just basically first, second-degree burns that just hurt really bad, and, you know, I'd have to, you know, medicate them, and my mom, you know, my mom come home from work, I'm like, hey, look what I could do, you know? And she'd freak out, of course, and be like, what the hell's wrong with you, you know, and tell me to not do it anymore, but, if, you know, as soon as I got home from school, I practiced and practiced and practiced until I finally got it, and, but unfortunately, that's really the worst way to learn. And I tell people that. I was like, yeah, what you see me do now to where I can do it pretty much flawlessly, you know, spent many, many years of doing it wrong. So if you're going to, if you want to learn how to do it, there are people, there are other sideshow people that you can contact who will teach you how to do these stunts for a nominal fee, of course.
Well, how does your mother feel about this now?
How does she feel about it now? I mean, now they're, you know, they're pretty proud of it, of what I've accomplished on my own. I mean, I've been on a lot of major television shows. I've been on television, I just recently went over to Paris, France to do a TV show. I was in Turkey a few months ago doing my show. So I mean, they're pretty proud of me that it's taken me around the world now, and you know, I've been making a living at this for quite some time. This is my only and sole income. It's just from performing. That's all I do now.
You sound like you would be a good Halloween feature. So I see that you're booked at this Headless Horseman.
Yes, right? Yes. I work and I design. Not only do I perform at the Headless Horseman every year, but this is my eighth season at this particular event. This particular haunted house is the number one haunted attraction in the country, and it's also the largest. It takes 2 to 3 hours to go through the entire attraction. And within it are 8 separate attractions. So you have a hayride. We have 4 haunted houses, a corn maze, my show, a haunted gardens, and then a whole midway area with gift shops and eateries and stuff. And it's quite large, and it's a destination for a lot of people. We had Uma Thurman last year come through. The guys from Orange County Choppers come through. Various other actors and stuff like that have all been through our attraction.
And you helped design it?
Yes, I help design. I help write some of the scripting for certain things. I build illusions for certain sets when they want to have a magic effect in a particular set. Like if they want to have a skull floating out over the wagon, it's my job to come up with a method on how to do that. And then, of course, I have to teach the actor who's going to be at that particular set how to perform that effect properly. So I spend a lot of time in a lot of the summer building illusions, not only for my personal show, but for other haunted houses as well.
And I see that you've done, from looking at your bios and things online, I see that you've done some county fairs. You like doing the Yes. county fairs, and what do you do at the county fairs?
I really do like doing the fairs. It's a different type of show for me because of how it's situated, and every fair is different. And I've been doing the Pima County Fair. This is going on my 5th or 6th season now with them. And I just love it there. I mean, it's really a great venue. And Lana, who's in charge of the entertainment there, is just awesome. And she takes care of everything we need. And we put on a really great show, and people seem to love it. We've built a huge fan base there in Tucson now. And every year they keep coming back, and I try to bring new people in every year. This year I'm actually talking to the Enigma, who is a pretty well-known oddity person, I guess you could say. He's tattooed like a puzzle, and he's all colored it blue, and he has horns implanted underneath his skin and stuff like that. He's a very unusual fella, but he's a very nice man and a good friend of mine. And he might be coming into the show this year with me in Tucson. I worked the Yuba Sutter Fair, Los Banos. I did the Canyon County Fair this year, and I forget the other one. There was one I did one in Idaho and then one in California this year. Those were new ones for me. I hadn't done those before.
Right. One of the things that we have, our fairs seem to have a problem with, is that they have nothing for teenagers.
That's what I've been working on for the past 4 years at the IAFI convention, is trying to let people make people realize and the fair buyers realize that there's a new type of entertainment available to them for the demographic that they're not hitting. You know,
right.
The pig races are great, but, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids don't want to watch a pig race, you know, and they don't want to watch the country band, and they don't want to watch the tractors. You know, they want to go see something that they haven't seen before and that's completely new and different, but yet it's not, you know, my show is not offensive in the way that there's no cursing, there's no nudity or anything like that. There are some extreme stunts that are done, but I keep that demographic in one area. And, you know, in the case of Pima County, where they were having trouble in one of their beer tents, they put me in the show. I increased beer sales by 35%. So, needless to say, they were very happy about that.
Actually, John, it just so happens that I saw you at the Pima County Fair.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
I did.
The show we put on, we try to keep it, very upbeat. It's a different type of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a type of entertainment that, you know, people are really looking for. Every show I do in a new place, people are like, wow, I can't believe this is here. And I'm just, you know, so I've been trying to get out. Basically, I don't know if you remember the show Fear Factor, but Fear Factor was one of the number one rated shows on television for quite a long time while it was on. There's a reason why people like weird things, you know. People might not admit it to you, but I am kind of the guilty pleasure of most people. So,
right. Well, I think we all have a tendency. That's why horror movies sell so well.
Exactly. The number one movie in the country is Halloween.
Right. Right.
You know.
It's kind of gruesome.
I mean, people like, you know, they don't want it every day of their life, but if they can go for, you know, 30 minutes and go in and sit down and watch a show that's completely different, completely off the wall, and they have a lot of fun, and I get a lot of audience interaction with my shows. I try to bring people up. I let them participate, so they're all part of the show. So it's not just me doing weird things. My show is a comedy-based show. It's not just a gross-out show. You know, we do a lot of jokes and joking around. So I try to keep it lighthearted, but at the same time, you know, I try to freak them out.
Well, you know, I did notice that, you know, there that the Pima County Fair area there was filled with teenagers. You were just packed with teenagers. Did they come up and talk to you? I mean, do you talk to
them? Oh, yeah. Oh, after the show, I love to meet everybody. You know, a lot of people sometimes are intimidated because of the way that I look, and which is fine. I mean, that's all part of the whole thing. But we try to meet with each and every person, and I answer any question that they ask. I have a lot of kids who are interested in sideshow, but they don't know how to get into it, or they're interested in magic. They just don't know how to get into it, and I like to help facilitate that type of thing, you know. And I'm actually the president of the Society of American Magicians here in New York. And, you know, I love magic. I've always loved magic, and I love the sideshow. And I just try to bring that to different people who might not have the access that I have. Living in New York, you know, I have access to many things because I live, you know, in a major city, so it's easy for me to access stuff. But for a lot of people who live in some rural areas that I perform for, it's kind of fun for me to meet them and help them, maybe, you know, direct them to a website or to books, or go, you know, I try to stress how important it is to have education, because what I do does not come from guessing. You know, you have to be smart to a
John,
degree.
John, I have to ask
for
you, know,
to pull
you know,
things off.
I have to ask you, there's magicians, and there's all kinds of magicians out there, and the competition for the magician market is real rough. But you seem to have gone into a line that is not traditional magic.
No, and that's why I work so much, because I'm able to offer a show that other people don't offer, you know. You either have magicians or you have sideshow people. They really separate themselves from each other, which is a shame, because magic used to be in a traditional sideshow. There was always a magician. Magic actually is the lowest rung of the sideshow world. In the sideshow hierarchy, magicians are considered the least skilled performers in the entire group, which is kind of funny, but, you know, it's just the way it is. But, you know, I try to bring something completely different, and that's why I like combining. My shows that I bring to the fair market are shows that are a combination show. There's magic and there's sideshow. And so it's a nice wide variety of stuff. And then I bring in guest performers. Sometimes with certain fairs, they want, you know, other performers. I work with a giant who's 7'3", you know, who's a sword swallower. And, you know, he was in the movie Big Fish with Tim Burton and stuff. So it's like I bring in a lot of guest acts, and I have access to the Enigma and the Lizard Man and sideshow performers from all over the world. And I try to change it up so it's a little bit of a variety. And so it's something that's just not common at a traditional fair. And the fair entertainment is changing, and the fairs need to recognize the fact that these kids are the new buyers. You know, they're the patrons, and they're spending. They have money to spend, but you know, where do you want them to spend it? If you give them a place to go spend it in, you know, and give them something to see and do, then they're going to go spend their money. And ultimately, that's what, you know, the fair is in business to make money. And so that's, you know, that's what I try to help do for them, is find an area where they're lacking foot traffic and try to bring that in.
Well, the question that I was trying to get at was that at some point you must have made a decision as you were learning magic. How did you get into sideshows? How did you go from magic to sideshows?
Well, when I was 10 years old, my father took me to a circus, and there was a sideshow at this particular circus. It was a smaller circus. I believe the circus still survives to this day, under a big top, still traveling. But they used to have a little sideshow on the side, and I went in, and I got to pull the sword out of the sword swallower's mouth, and I was just right then and there. I was hooked. I was just like, yeah. When I saw the reaction that got from the audience, I was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Just started from there. So I always continued to do magic, but then that's when I got into the whole fire eating, and then of course into the more stunts, handling snakes and wanting to have a snake and all that kind of stuff.
Are you married?
No, I am not married. I am a single guy. I travel quite a bit, so being in relationships makes it kind of hard for me. You know, plus dealing with my schedule is hard because I don't work traditional like hours. Sometimes I'll stay home for a couple of days, then other times I'm gone for 3 weeks and stuff. So it's a very weird lifestyle, and I'm up late at night usually, and you know, or I get up early in the morning and I'm gone till late at night, and so it makes it hard. I'm a very difficult person to date. They have to be very forgiving.
You don't even have a significant other then.
I have somebody that I see quite often, but it's hard on her, and I always tell her, I'm like, I understand if you don't want to deal with this, I totally understand, but she's been around for, we've been seeing each other now for a couple of years.
I have enjoyed talking to you, and I think that our audience is going to enjoy listening to you. Hopefully, you know, we'll get the message out to some of the fairs that you're a good teenager.
Yeah.
And I can testify to that because I did see you perform.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, the teenagers, you know, that it is hard to please the teenagers. And a lot of times when I do interviews now at these fairs, and we just did too, for the Yavapai County Fair and Santa Cruz County Fair in Arizona, one of the questions I always ask them is, what do you have for teenagers? Because teenagers are hard to please.
They are. They're a very hard demographic to deal with because they are jaded to most things. And that's what I've come across. Like, sometimes we get them where they come in and they're very hostile towards us, you know, and we're able to win them over. By the end of the show, they love us. And that's been like one of the fun things that I've been able to do in different towns I travel to, is, you know, giving them something that they haven't seen, and then, you know, they look at you like, well, what is this all about? You know, when you're competing with video games and movies and you know, PS2s and YouTube and stuff, you really have to do a lot to really get a kid excited about something now. So, I mean,
right, and you know, it's a fact, I think, that the fairs that are surviving are the fairs that are adapting and changing.
I've noticed more fairs are coming over to my way of thinking. And every year I get a little bit more fairs come to my booth, and they're like, all right, we really need something for, like, our kids' area, or we need something for our beer tent, and, you know, we need something to, you know, for this area because there's just nothing going on, and, you know, we're looking for something that's a non-traditional act. But the thing is I'm really easy to work with. I don't require a whole lot. And most of the time, you'll never hear from me the entire fair because I'm so very self-contained. I'm used to working, you know, within myself. I don't require a lot of help or anything like that. I don't need stage hands and all that kind of stuff.
I can see that you wouldn't.
It's like, you know, our act sets up, and we're pretty self-contained. When we start running, we just go. You know, it's like we just need a place to do it, and that's all we need.
Well, okay, John, I'm going to let you go, and thank you very much for talking to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at some more of our fairs.
Great.